The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, Iran's Revolutionary Guards have warned of a long war of attrition as the conflict with the US and Israel continues. And I'm joined now by Bel True, Chief International Correspondent with The Independent, and Niall Stanage, White House columnist at The Hill. Bel, can I come to you first of all? You're obviously currently in Beirut. The saber-rattling by Iran, a war of attrition that will be long. What do you think they mean by that in terms of what are they talking about targeting?
Well, they've made it clear that they want to keep putting a stranglehold on the main shipping line, you know, Strait of Hormuz. And that could even push, they said, oil barrels up to $200 per barrel. So they obviously have that card they can play. They also overnight fired drones and missiles at multiple countries across the region, which obviously has a huge impact, not just in terms of potential loss of life, but closure of airports, bringing, you know, financial markets to a halt. So there are cards they can play without actually having to do very much, and that appears to be what they are willing to do, and that's already having a massive impact on the global economy. So, you know, that it is saber-rattling, but they do actually have a lot of cards in their pocket that they can pull, and they already have done, which is impacting the world.
And you mentioned the Strait of Hormuz. The US have been targeting the Strait and have, as they say, eliminated up to 16 mine-laying boats. This is obviously an attempt to free up that vital, I suppose, transport link to oil. Up to 20% of the world's oil comes through there. Do you think that the US, with your knowledge of the area, could in fact, I suppose, take control of the Strait of Hormuz and make it safe for passage of oil?
Well, I think that would be a huge action to do, but certainly there is a massive pressure to make the Strait of Hormuz be freed effectively. As you mentioned, it handles 20% of global oil and LNG supply. And there's, you know, massive warnings from, for example, the Saudi oil giant Aramco about a looming catastrophic consequences for the market if this stranglehold continues. So there's huge pressure to get the ships through there and to get the markets moving. But that, you know, of course, is entirely dependent on the situation on the ground. And as we can see so far, Iran is willing to put that pressure on as it itself faces more pressure from the extraordinary strikes across the country.
Yeah, Europe has obviously announced earlier today they're going to release emergency oil reserves in order to combat those price surges that you have mentioned. You, I know, are in Beirut. The situation between Israel and Lebanon, how bad are things where you are currently?
Well, the fear here is that even if there is some...
Have we lost? I think we may have... Bel? We have... Bel, are you back? Hello?
Sorry.
You are back.
Yes, I'm back. I'm back.
My apologies.
The fear here is that even if the US stops bombing Iran, even if Iran takes, you know, its stranglehold off the Strait of Hormuz, Israel has it.
Unfortunately, our line to Beirut appears to have dropped. We will try, obviously, and get Bel True back, but that is the situation when you were on the phone to Lebanon. But we are also joined by Niall Stanage, who is coming to us live from the White House in the US and is the columnist at The Hill. Good evening to you, Niall.
Evening. How are you doing?
We're doing very well. The US strategy in Iran, many commentators say it's incoherent. What are people saying on the ground in Capitol Hill?
Well, I think that fear of it being incoherent or of it shifting all the time is a very real fear, and it goes beyond Democrats or liberals. We've seen a number of conservative commentators express real concern about this. Now, the White House has laid out some objectives, but at the same time, there are very important questions that either are unanswered or to which we get different answers, including, for example, is it foreseeable that the United States would stop short of a situation where the Islamic Republic itself, you know, collapses? We don't know the answer to that because the answer keeps altering slightly.
Okay. And the answer keeps altering slightly. That is this to do with Donald Trump at once saying that this war, we've almost won the war, and then we're also hearing, of course, there's a long way to go yet, almost in the same briefings?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there was an instance just exactly as you described on Monday, where he called up CBS News for a phone interview, said the war was almost complete. Financial markets were still open at that time. They rallied on the idea that maybe he was about to call a halt. And after the markets had closed, he spoke again at a press conference and seemed much less inclined to call them an imminent halt. And people just didn't know then where exactly we stood.
Okay. Obviously, the Republican and the MAGA would say that these strikes in Iran are necessary to curb military capabilities of Iran, missile programs, regional influence. It's hard to know which, if any, of those have been achieved as yet.
It is. I mean, I'm at the White House because President Trump was departing for a basically campaign trip a very short time ago. And in his remarks to reporters on the South Lawn, he was really focusing on American military might. Now, nobody doubts that American military might is vast and clearly superior to Iran's, but that, in a sense, isn't the point. The point is, what is the strategic reasoning behind this, and at what point will the strategic aims be achieved? It's pretty difficult to say that when we don't know what those aims are.
Congress obviously would have preferred to have been consulted in all of this, would have preferred to give their approval or indeed be allowed to withhold it. Many modern presidents have acted in the absence of congressional approval under sort of the idea of an emergency or an imminent threat. Is that flying in the US, the idea that Iran was an imminent threat in any sense to the US?
I'm not really sure that it is, because this conflict is very different from the historical patterns that we have seen when it comes to public approval. At the outset of, say, the Iraq War, or even when American troops were first being inserted into Vietnam in the 60s, there was widespread public approval for those moves, which of course then completely reversed as the situation went bad. In this instance, there are a plurality of Americans in almost every poll disapproving of this decision, partly because that point of imminence that you mentioned has not, I think, been proven to many people's satisfaction.
No. One of the things that probably has been proven to many people's satisfaction is the effect on the markets, the effect on oil prices, the effects on the economy. This is dangerous territory for Donald Trump in the run-up to the midterm elections, isn't it?
Very much so, not least because he campaigned, of course, as something of an isolationist. The whole idea of America first was that it wouldn't get involved and entangled in these foreign conflicts. But to your point about, for example, fuel prices, well, the price of petrol here is up for the 11th day in a row. Trump says, well, that'll be temporary. Once we win, however you define that, in Iran, the prices will plunge. But that's not a guarantee, and the timescale isn't guaranteed. Meanwhile, people who aren't following every twist and turn of politics are paying more to fill up their tanks.
And do you think, because it has been floated, the idea of American boots on the ground in Iran, do you think that would be a grossly unpopular move by the president?
Yes, I think, frankly, that would be politically catastrophic. I mean, what would you be sending those people there to do? And if you sent them, sadly, a significant number of them are almost certain to be killed. There's been 8 deaths already, even in a situation where there apparently are no boots on the ground on the American side. I think that would be... I actually think Trump has too much of a political antennae, whatever you think about his policies, to go for that. He just hasn't ruled it out.
Lots of Democrats coming out with very nice sound bites like, we don't have money to give 15 million Americans healthcare, but we have money to spend €1 billion a day bombing the Middle East. Is that gaining traction for the Democrats? Are they making political capital here?
I think that they are to a degree, but I think that that argument that you just raised about the cost is a very vital one. I mean, without getting too deep into the complexities of this, outside the major coastal cities, there are a lot of people in the United States struggling. So if there's a war with ill-defined objectives and an unproven imminent threat, and then you're spending that amount of money on it, that's a hard sell, regardless of ideology. That's a hard thing to convince somebody in rural Ohio or rural Kentucky, the 2 states that the president is visiting today, that that is a good investment of American money.
Look, so Trump definitely under pressure domestically through all of this. Look, thank you very much for joining us, Niall. That's Niall Stanage there, who is a columnist at The Hill, coming to us live from the White House in Washington.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.